Thanks for listening to The Drive with Big Al and D-Mac, on demand, brought to you by SEL Mortgage, the leaders in Colorado of special circumstance lending, helping everyone, including people with unusual financing needs. Locally owned and operated, visit myspecialmortgage.com. That's myspecialmortgage.com.
It's football at 4 with Big Al and D-Mac on Sports Radio 104.3 The Fan.
I just saw the goal. It was a nice play. Did he dummy it?
Every year, man. You know, this
he
is
dummied
our...
it. That was...
He caught a dummy. That's what they called it, dummy.
Yeah.
Act like he was going to take it and didn't take it.
It's good sense to the guys behind you.
Right. Impressive, huh?
Yeah, that was a cool team goal.
Yeah. You saw the fast break. How did it start? What is that called?
Fast break, sure. Transition or... you know, it was awesome. You sometimes in soccer can get a lot of opportunities off a corner kick because the other team's got, you know, all their guys down there. So if you can maintain possession and break out, you can create some opportunities for yourself. Beautiful job by Belgium. That is crazy. In the 94th minute, Japan blew it. Because if you go to overtime, of course, in soccer, it's not. You play 15 minute halves. So even if you score a goal in overtime, you could still hang around and, you know, maybe tie it up, get an equalizer before you go to the ridiculousness of penalty kicks. But it is football at 4, Al. Nikki wrote a great article. I got to admit, there's something going on with the Broncos. I am done having to talk about. They don't need to go on some sort of camp over trip. They don't need to go to Houston. They don't need to go to Arizona, Al. They don't need to do any of that. You know why? They've been practicing all summer over at Regis. I remember last summer, before Lauren Landau was, you know, the strength and conditioning coach there, I was over at Regis High School. My son had a baseball game in the summer against somebody. The game was being played at Regis, and over on the football field, there was the biggest high school team you'd ever seen in your life. Of course, it wasn't a high school team. It was Lauren, and he was training pros or college kids about to be pros. Al, they were just doing conditioning. Lauren's done that for years. He was a great hire for the Broncos. So to hear that Case Keenum and others have been training over at Regis High School, it was interesting for sure, but not surprising. Because the Broncos and other pro players have had a tradition of that. So Case Keenum may be over there, Al, not with just Broncos players. He may be over there with, well, I don't know, whoever. And there's just a bunch of pros that train collectively over at Regis. At least they have been, and apparently they continue to do so. Emmanuel Sanders is amongst the crew training with Case Keenum over at Regis. Good for Sanders. Good for everybody, Al. You don't need to do anything more than that. That's really, really cool news. And Sanders was hosting a camp, and I applaud him for that. That's cool that you do camps for kids, and kids really are into it, and it's a good way to, you know, participate with your community. And I'm throwing a lot of praise towards Emmanuel Sanders. I hope he hears all this. He's decided to do what I think, in my opinion, every single pro athlete should do. And that's primarily live in the city that you play in. You don't have to be there full time, but you keep your primary residence in the city that you, and he's doing this, Al, for the first time since he's been a member of the Broncos. He and his family have transitioned to live this year in Denver. And again, I applaud that. I think when these athletes, Al, sometimes go home, there's a lot of other distractions out there. And he's very praiseworthy towards Case Keenum. There's a bunch of Broncos players with Case working things out. They're working on running the right routes and making things simple and developing camaraderie. And I don't think Paxton Lynch is around. Huge mistake by Paxton Lynch, by the way, if that's the case. I didn't see any mention of him not being around. But good on Case Keenum. Good for Emmanuel Sanders, Al. All really good signs for the Broncos. What do you think?
I think that Emmanuel is in a contract year. And if he doesn't play well, his value will slip. So the best way to ensure that the contract year goes right is to stay with Case Keenum. That's what I think.
You think it's for more personal reasons than team reasons?
I mean, no doubt. There's no doubt about that.
Wow.
I mean, there's no doubt about
that. So you're the one ripping Emmanuel Sanders here, not me.
I'm just telling you that's what's happening. In a contract year, it's important that you give yourself every option to play well.
Well, let's dig deeper because there's some quotes from Sanders that I think will catch your attention. We'll get there next.
Sandy Clef here to tell you about SCL Mortgage Special Circumstance Lending, locally owned and operated. And if you're self-employed or work on commission, this is the place for you. Bank statement loans are back. You don't need tax returns to do your loan. In some cases, the bank statement loans can be done with credit scores in the low 600s. MySpecialMortgage.com on the web, 303-790-2222. The phone number, SCL Mortgage, licensed by the Colorado Department of Regulatory Agencies, number 1200716.
You're listening to The Drive with Big Al and D-Mac on Sports Radio 104.3 The Fan.
All right, so I'm reading Nikki's article, and our show's part of Nikki's article. Kind of unintentionally, but it's about Emmanuel Sanders. Says he has, quote, something to prove this year for the Broncos or maybe another team. So Sanders is staying put in Denver this summer. Good for him. Listen, all right, Al, how do you feel about athletes? And I'm not saying they have to live here all the time. Everybody goes on vacation. But in terms of having a residence when you're not on vacation, how do you feel about athletes in terms of where they should live?
You live where you want to live.
Nope.
Do what you want to do.
I think you should live in the city that
Why?
You work for.
Shannon Sharp never lived here.
Yeah, okay. I'm sure there's a lot of great athletes that just didn't stay here. Doesn't change my opinion on it.
Yeah, I mean,
Case Keenum's living here.
Yeah, I think Case Keenum is.
Peyton Manning bought a house here.
Look, Case Keenum is on a prove it deal right now, 2 years.
Yeah, okay.
You got to give yourself a chance. You know, the ideas behind staying around here are. You stay here because you like it.
Well, here, let me explain it from Emmanuel Sanders' point of view, because I think he makes sense. I go back to Houston, and it's a lot of chaos. I have to move my clothes, move my cars. It's a lot of unnecessary things that I'm trying to get out of the way and focus on the season. Dude, I couldn't say it better myself, and I think that's a strong statement about any professional athlete. You're right. It's a distraction when you have to, you know, upload things and away and that sort of stuff.
Not that big of a deal.
Well, that's what Sanders says. So for now, he's calling Denver his full-time home. For now, this year. Well, that's right. Because who knows if Emmanuel Sanders will be with the Broncos. But he knows
he's
that
31,
needs a great year this year.
Yeah, he's 31. And if he doesn't show well this year, his market is not going to be there.
He's smart. He knows he needs to have a great year this year. And he's given himself every chance to do so.
I mean, he's a great player.
Hats off. Way to go. Couldn't agree more. Case Keenum, same thing. Case Keenum knows he's on a prove-it deal. There's no doubt about it. And he's given it his best shot. And Case Keenum is taking advantage of staying here. They're having these workouts at Regis, and he's putting it out there. Case Keenum's putting it out there. Hey, if you want to join me, this is where I'm going to be. And if the quarterback is putting that message out, then a lot of players are going to receive it well. And this was stunning that Paxton Lynch and Trevor Siemian did not do the same thing over the past couple of years. But good for Trevor Siemian.
It was irresponsible.
There is no purpose and no need to go away to do, because we always said, don't worry about it. But if you say you're going to do something, do something. You don't have to go anywhere. You can go to Regis High School. It's fine. It's a great field. Since the Broncos' Super Bowl victory, they've had two head coaches, three offensive coordinators, three different starting quarterbacks, and a 14-18 record. Sanders, if you combine both of them, the quarterbacks and coordinators, that screams out bright, bright red. Big red flags. Correct. Right, Al? Things were miserable. Sanders.
No, I think what happened is that they got comfortable.
Sanders, it was bad. There were some games I was like, what am I doing to myself? Do I even like football anymore? Because it was a battle within myself mentally and just trying to go out there and make plays. Just putting it all on the line, it was tough. I agree with you. I'm sure it was. Me and Emmanuel, we're on the same page here. I'm sure it was difficult. And it started, it was difficult, Alfred, because the Broncos organization made it that way. Like at the end of all the OTAs and minicamps, Vance Joseph, I asked Vance Joseph, are you any closer to, you know, who your guy's going to be? We're about 5% through the process. I was like, 5%, huh? All that work from January to now, and you're about 5%? What a mess. Well, if we could figure that out, and now we hear from Sanders, it's obvious the worst thing in the world to have is some sort of quarterback competition, right?
We'd like not to have that.
Teams need to make their minds up one way or the other. And that's why you should have traded Trevor Siemian last year. You know what's great in this article, too? Keenum is, he's in charge. Keenum has gathered his receivers, tight ends, and running backs for throwing sessions at Regis. One thing Keenum kept saying, this is Sanders talking, is we're going to get great at a couple routes instead of trying to be a mediocre at a ton of routes. So we're able to take certain routes and just run them over and over and over again until we're great at it. Sounds good. You're making things more simple. How complicated was Mike McCoy's offense last year, Al?
I would say that the offense, in general, NFL offenses are the same. It's how you call them. It's when you call them. It's the route. There are no new routes in football. But Mike McCoy had like 3-4 names for one play that it was
Jack
the same
Kelly
play.
Said six.
Like same play, but you're calling it this man, you know. As a learning curve goes, you know, you're just making things harder for yourself.
So to hear that things are being simplified for the right reasons, the guys are working together, Emmanuel Sanders is engaged, all great news. And then at the end of the article, you can make comments. You know, it's an online article, Al, like you can just write comments. The first two comments on this article are the following. Read. Nice article. It's the first I've heard Keenum and company is getting together to throw the ball. Nice reporting. Some local radio personalities are losing it because Keenum hasn't held a passing camp yet. The comment under Reed's comment. I think you're referring to D-Mac. LOL. He's a professional troll. But I give him credit because if you can get people to pay you for stirring up trouble and mouthing off, that's a pretty sweet deal. Agreed. But that's not what I was doing. What we were doing was telling the truth. What we were doing is holding guys accountable. What we were doing is questioning the process that was going on for the past couple years. That's what we were doing. We weren't stirring up trouble. We were asking for accountability. We said repeatedly that we don't care if you have a passing camp because not much is going to happen. What we cared about is who is leading the team, Al, and who, when something is said, is going to execute it. But Reed doesn't get it, and a lot of people don't get it. They just hear what they want to hear. We said over and over again, we don't care about a passing cam, but to hear that you're having workouts together locally is fantastic. To hear that you're committed here in town is terrific. To hear that you have a quarterback that is now setting the agenda, not waiting for the receivers or somebody else, Al, isn't that all we were ever asking for?
Clear leadership. Clear leadership. And it's just, you know, Trevor Siemian, man.
Blew it.
He's
not a leader.
He just blew it. Yep. He really did blow it.
Doesn't get it. Doesn't understand leadership. Blew it. He was given everything. Didn't know how to lead. Was constantly deferring.
That was his biggest problem. Not that he couldn't throw a football.
Right.
He didn't know how to lead. He is a career backup mentality.
Always has been.
His mentality is a backup.
He's Peter Parker. Exactly the nickname that Von Miller used to call him. I point to sometimes weird things, but the Broncos have a costume, you know, thing around Halloween. Never forget one year Brock Osweiler dressed up like a ballerina, Peyton Manning dressed up like Elvis. You can be a goof and get a laugh, or you can be the king. This is The Drive on The Fan.
Sports Radio 104.3 The Fan presents The Drive with Big Al and D-Mac.
Because I'm happy.
Clap along if you feel like happiness is the truth.
What a summer day.
Clap along if you know
July 2nd. There was an invasion happening in my backyard last night, Al, with people trying to blow their hands off. I was out on the porch and on the deck.
The holiday, 4th of July.
That's right. And you said that both weekends were the holiday.
That's right. Great. Front and backside, since it's on a Wednesday.
I mean, I'm hearing these explosions near my house, and I'm just like, it just sounds dangerous. Now, I did not hear gunfire. I don't think I heard gunfire. I don't know. People,
maybe,
I guess,
the most famous 4th of July accident in sports history. You remember what that one was?
Oh, it was the dude blowing off his fingers.
Right.
What's his face? Giants. Jason. JPP.
JPP.
Yeah. Don't need all those fingers to rush the quarterback. Tackle and running back. I mean, how many fingers do you need?
I mean, his hand was just, no.
Well, man.
Not two, not three, not four, not five, not six, not seven.
He made Chucky from Sons of Anarchy look good.
Mm. Have you seen his hand? That's his hand.
That's horrible. That was a really good reference by me, though, but it's a little bit old. Chucky, Sons of Anarchy. All right. Aaron, you're on The Fan. Hi, Aaron.
Hey, Big Al, D-Mac, huge Broncos fan down here in Austin, Texas.
Nice.
Hey. Hell yeah!
So you guys were talking about leadership, and this is the most confounding thing for me. When I think of Broncos quarterbacks, I think of John Elway and Peyton Manning, and both those guys had leadership, and they had a relentless competitive drive that did not stop. When I think of Paxton Lynch, I think of arm talent, mobility, but none of the other two exist.
Oh, no, he's done. And the Broncos will have to, because they paid him the money, Aaron.
The money's guaranteed.
They owe him all. Mike List wrote about it today in his mailbag. He's paid out, and they just don't have any other really better options. And they blew it when they could have drafted a quarterback in the first round this year, and they decided not to. They went with Bradley Chubb, and by going with Chubb, they committed to another year, maybe two, for Paxton Lynch. One. Because there's no way he's going to get the fifth-year extension, and then he'll just be done. He'll be gone.
Unless he makes some better progress than what he's shown.
I think he'd need a time machine to do that. Yes, go ahead, Aaron.
So I guess, what's the likelihood of us? I mean, you guys talked about this, I guess, last week. But what's the likelihood of the possibility of the Shane Ray trade for Teddy Bridgewater?
Zero.
That may be.
But Teddy Bridgewater is going to get traded, though.
Yeah, Teddy Bridgewater will get traded, and maybe Shane Ray will as well.
Yeah, but not.
But
for
I don't
each
think
other.
We will take Bridgewater here,
even though I
think that would have been a great trade.
He's going to have too much value.
He's an NFL starting quarterback.
Yeah. You don't get him for Shane Ray. You'd have to give up Shane Ray, big-time draft picks. When Teddy Bridgewater gets traded, he's going to play. And he is going to get traded. By the way, there was a cool article today. I actually saw a newspaper. Now, I was at Einstein's having breakfast with my kid this morning, and they just throw the newspapers on top of the trash. Is that the same as throwing them in the trash, more or less?
No.
It's really trash, though, right?
You actually have a newspaper.
I have an actual. Isn't it funny? So I know.
I haven't seen one of those in a long time.
Me neither. And, you know, it was on top of the trash.
No, that's somebody else can read it.
Sandy did not leave it for me.
Wow,
yeah, but would you consider this stealing? I mean, I just took the sports section. You think that's okay? I thought it was all right.
Yeah, I think
so. Yeah, lock me up. mean, it's a newspaper. Who even has these anymore? But the article I loved, it was expectations. Now, of course, you can get this article online. Of course you can. Why read it in the newspaper? But it was the expectations for 2018 first-round picks. This was great. Because, and it was written by Ryan O'Halloran from the Denver Post. So I guarantee you Ryan won't be working there long. Anyway, he just got hired? Right. So I give him what? 14 months? Anyways, Ryan, I loved your article. So I don't mean to be ripping on you. Your career decision to work for a newspaper is curious. The projection, Al, for every single first-round pick. It was amazing. How many quarterbacks went in the fifth round?
Fifth round?
All right, I gave myself away. How many quarterbacks went in the first round? Five.
Five.
That's why I said fifth. Sorry. Every single quarterback in this article was projected to not start, but to come in at a certain point of the season. Which is exactly the, you know, Trubisky-Glennon doctrine. So he's guessing Baker Mayfield comes in October 23rd. He's guessing Teddy Bridgewater gets traded and Sam Darnold starts by October 14th. He's guessing that Josh Allen comes in November 4th and that Josh Rosen September 23rd. And then he's guessing Lamar Jackson will just impress people so much that they'll just create, Al, some sort of offensive package for Lamar Jackson and start playing him, because how can you avoid a talent that good? And this, to me, everybody, first of all, this is what I was saying for months and months and months leading up to the draft. And it's okay. I mean, you know, his projection for Bradley Chubb is terrific. Bradley Chubb starts the season at outside linebacker because of Shane Ray's wrist injury. Agree or disagree?
Agree.
Me too. And then he gets 10 sacks. Agree or disagree?
Disagree.
I think that'd be a pretty good season.
That'd be a great season.
Right. B, just like Von Miller. But that's achievable for Bradley Chubb, don't you think that
10 sacks?
You don't think so?
As a rookie?
Starting outside linebacker?
No. That's not easy.
So this is a fun article to sort of dig into and see who you think will do what. But every single quarterback by this article is projected to start at some point during the season, not to start the season. And I think that is going to be, I think that has already happened and will continue to be the trend in the NFL.
Higher
paid backups,
mm-hmm,
who eventually will be taken over by drafted quarterbacks.
Right. And the reason that I said 10 sacks is not easy, I equate 10 sacks to quarterbacks throwing for 35 touchdowns. Okay, you get 10 sacks, you do for, call it 30 touchdowns. How many rookie quarterbacks throw for 30 touchdowns?
Oh, I have no idea.
Probably not that many.
Let's take a break. It's fun to go through it.
But I like it. I like the ideas.
Every single quarterback, every single player in the first round, what will their impact be? Stick around. This is The Drive on The Fan.
It's The Drive with Big Al and D-Mac on Sports Radio 104.3 The Fan.
More contentious than a Philippines-Australian basketball game. The Drive on The Fan. Be careful making wishes in a dark. See how I hit that post right there? That's right. I'm all about Fall Out Boy. Mr. Fallout Boy. I'm in the deep, deep tears with the world can never get me on my. Can't really read this guy's name. Oh, Pauly. All right, Pauly. Pauly Walnuts. What's going on? You're on The Fan.
Hey, how you doing, huh?
Super Pauly. What's going on?
Man, I just want to ask you guys. I am so sick of this do or die time, you know? Like, it's been 20 years since we had a quarterback, John Elway, where we could rely on the fact that we'd have a quarterback and worry about the rest of our team.
I know.
You know, And how long will it take for the Broncos to become that team?
Paul, you got to draft that guy. There's the only way you get to. And trust me, I was in Buffalo when Jim Kelly was there, and in Denver with John Elway. You got to draft them. You only get those type of guys if you draft and develop them. That's it.
We are turning into a hand-me-down team.
Nah, it's not like that.
Sloppy seconds.
If it was sloppy seconds, we wouldn't have got Peyton Manning, which was awesome. But we all knew that was for, you know, we thought it was going to be 3 years. Turned out to be four. Should have been five. But it was, you know, a great 4 years.
I just want to get a quarterback.
You realize Jay Cutler, what year? Thanks, Paulie. What year was Jay Cutler drafted in? 06. We should still have Jay Cutler, Al, as quarterback of the Denver Broncos, right?
Correct.
Theoretically. I mean, he's a first-round quarterback, high level of talent.
With Mike Shanahan, it would have worked out with Jay Cutler.
He should be in year, what, 12?
Right. It should be.
He's only in his, you know, what, low 30s? 33, 34, 35 at the most? Just turned 35? We should be on the back end of Jay Cutler's career here in Denver. That is crazy to think about. But isn't that the plan when you draft a quarterback in the first round?
Yep.
A 15-year career?
Yep.
It's pretty reasonable. I mean, that's what you got out of, well, certainly out of Tom Brady. I mean, Phillip Rivers, Aaron Rodgers eventually. I don't know. So it should be Paxton Lynch. By that same parameter. It is, you know,
if Paxton was more responsible, and I say responsible, meaning, you know, when you get beat out by a sixth-round draft pick whose leaderships are lacking, to say the least, like, you should have just been drafted and been the first-round draft pick that plays if he was the guy. Like, that's the one part about being around Paxton Lynch is that you just look at him and like, what are you doing? Like, why are you doing this?
Well, Steven has a question. Steven, you're on the fan. Hi, Steven.
Hey, guys. How's it going?
Super.
Glad to hear. I'm going to ask my question and then I'll hang up so I can listen to the response. But my question is, I guess, what would you guys think about trading Paxton Lynch and Shane Ray to the Jets to get Josh McCown as a backup in case, let's say, Case Keenum goes down. Hopefully not, but if he goes down in the playoffs.
Well, that's not going to happen because the Jets like Josh McCown quite a bit.
Yep, and I would like I'd like that trade to happen with Paxton Lynch, Shane Ray for Teddy Bridgewater.
Sure, sign me up. That's not going to happen either, but I would take it, too. Josh McCown is very well liked in New York. He's the perfect bridge quarterback for Sam Darnold. He's a good dude. He'll work great with Darnold. He knows what his role is going to be. There's no controversy there in New York. It gives McCown another year of NFL play. They're not going to get rid of McCown. We had the chance to do that, Al. We had that chance.
But we got Case Keenum.
Yeah, we got Case Keenum. We went in a different direction.
Yeah, we went the route of a starter.
We could have easily, had we chosen to, with the fifth round pick, gone in the acquire a veteran quarterback, draft a quarterback with pick five. We had our choice of Josh Allen or Josh Rosen at the time, or Lamar Jackson. We could have traded back in, but I'm saying there was a philosophical decision by the Broncos based on their belief that Paxton Lynch still is a viable candidate.
Right.
And that is why they did a 2-year deal with Case Keenum. That is why they did not draft a quarterback. Not only did they not draft a quarterback in the first round, they didn't draft a quarterback at all. The Broncos have gone out of their way to tell you exactly what their plan is. And I know it's just hard for some fans to believe their plan could still involve Paxton Lynch, but it absolutely does. First, it's Case Keenum. then you'll see what you get with Paxton Lynch. But they feel, and by the way, there is no competition for the backup spot right now. It's not going to be Chad Kelly. It's not. Paxton Lynch would have to get hurt, as he did, actually, if you remember, Al, right? Last season and preseason. It will take a Paxton Lynch injury for Chad Kelly to get the shot at the backup spot. Chad Kelly may even get cut and put on practice squad. And if Chad Kelly goes to practice squad, then he may have other suitors, as Kyle Sloter did. I mean, we were stunned last year in training camp, Al, when Sloter wasn't put on the 53.
Yeah, it was clear that he had outperformed everybody that was on the roster.
And Lynch was hurt.
But then we were told that there was no way in the world that he was going to make the team before he played in that last preseason game. I mean, they disqualified him before they saw him play a full game.
Stunning.
I was like, wow.
We couldn't believe it.
You're basically telling this kid, go out there, have a good time, play well, maybe another team will pick you up. I was like, wow, why not you?
And that's what happened. What I think is hysterical is that Trevor Siemian's the backup in Minnesota, not Kyle Sloter. But, you know, we'll see how that goes, right? So
Sloter has some moxie to him.
He sure does. It's awesome. Talk about a guy who's never stopped believing in himself. It's really cool. That's the type of attitude you need. I don't know. So anyways, the Broncos are in decent shape. The concept of having a long-term quarterback, there's only one way to get that guy. You got to draft him and develop him. It should still be Jay Cutler. It should be Paxton Lynch. You drafted two first-round quarterbacks, and then you... they didn't work out. And Paxton Lynch is still bumping around here, but, you know, come on now.
Paxton Lynch is, he's going to, you know, I just saw a tweet from him. Somebody took a picture of him working out right now. He's still working out. He's just not here in Denver working out.
Yeah, mistake.
Case Keenum is actually here and working right with the guys.
Right.
See, those kind of money's guaranteed.
Tebow would have worked out, but they didn't want to center everything around Tim Tebow. Tebow was an insane draft pick, by the way. I mean, we loved it as a talk show, but it made no sense. Josh McDaniels and Brian Sanders.
And so when they were gone, so was he.
Yeah. Brian stuck around for a little bit, but eventually couldn't escape that draft pick. It was really a dumb draft pick.
It was so... Just shake my head. You gotta be kidding me.
It was dumb.
I'm like, what?
It was
is this?
Fun.
Like, what
it was,
is this?
It was fun, but it was dumb. It was dumb on so many different levels.
I'm like, what is this?
And they traded up to get that pick. They traded up in the 20s to get a draft pick for Tim Tebow as a quarterback. I mean, it was insane. It's one of the dumbest draft picks of all time. Although it was so fun to be around for the time Tim Tebow was here and gave us so many great memories. But in terms of just doing a draft, it was world-class stupid. Because now you have to commit to him at some point, right, Al? He's a first-round quarterback.
Right. He's got to play.
He's got to play. You got to play first round.
They couldn't even, the guy who drafted him couldn't find a niche for him.
It was comical.
You know, like
the guy who believed in him the most right. Couldn't figure out how to play him.
Couldn't find a niche for him to do anything.
Comical. Even the guy who drafted him kind of lost faith. And when John Fox inserted him when they were 1-4, there's no doubt that was to satisfy the fans.
And ensure that we would get
suck for
Andrew Luck.
Yep, no doubt about it. You'd satisfy the fan base. You'd assure John Fox, hey, man, this was not your fault. Right? Go with it. You'll be all right. I mean, there had to be a conversation like that. But there were two people in that move who refused to just give up. Three, if you want to include Tebow, but he was always just the way he was. There were two people who refused to give up in that situation, and they were Adam Gase and Mike McCoy. So they, Al, they just try to figure it out the best they could.
Thank you so much. God bless y'all.
And then miracles just started happening left and right.
He gets the snap. He cocks his arm. He throws a pass. It's caught in stride at the 40-yard line by Thomas. At the 50. Breaks a tackle at the 40. Down the near side. The 25. The 20. The 15. They chase him to the 10. The 5. He's in for a touchdown. Denver wins. On an 80-yard touchdown pass. Tim Tebow. And the Broncos will advance.
Our guy, Kevin Harlan. What a great call. A play that was drawn up, by the way, like in the locker room.
That was a Mike McCoy play.
That was not a play they had practiced. That was just a play they saw what the Dick LeBeau was doing defensively. No respect at all. I mean, zero respect for Tebow. They drew it up in the locker room. They said, let's try this. It worked. They win. But, I mean, think about all the other miracles. Being down by 15 points with, like, 3 minutes and 13 seconds in Miami. The first start, they win. Completing 2 passes against the Chiefs. The only game they led start to finish with Tebow. They win. Marion Barber for the Bears. Just mysteriously going out of bounds. And Matt Prater hitting a 61 and 69-yard field goal, something like that. Whatever it was. They win in overtime against the Bears. Or their season would have been over. And don't forget, the Broncos were 8-5. They lost their last 3 games of the regular season, but made the playoffs at 8-8 and hosted a playoff game.
With a guy who's out the league now.
And then Tebow had a legit great game. Threw for 316 yards. Tebow 316. I mean, it was awesome. It was awesome. And then we were humiliated like nobody's business in the playoffs the next week against New England. And I'll never forget the press conference afterwards. And Elway and Fox were in great moods. They couldn't believe what had just happened. Because the Suck for Luck campaign, Al, just...
was over.
Well, it got trashed. Because you won 8 games. I mean, you were 8-5. So the Suck for Luck thing was done. Right? I mean, now what are you going to do?
Go get Peyton Manning.
Right.
Can you imagine what our football life would look like if we didn't go get Peyton Manning around here? I mean, we could have had 6 years of what we just had.
Well,
yeah. Without
that's
Peyton,
a good question.
Without Peyton, we could have had 6 years just like we just had.
Tebow,
but we got 4 with Peyton.
Do you think Tebow still would have been starting the next year?
No, I'm just saying, but trying to find a quarterback is not easy.
I don't know who the other free agent quarterbacks that year were, but...
But if we don't get Peyton Manning, you know, we don't get a Super Bowl, we get 6 years of terrible play, you know...
Well, we still had Von Miller and stuff, you know, so...
Can't win... Yeah, listen.
We had Champ Bailey and... we had other good players.
We had a league MVP. MVP.
The day Peyton Manning decided to be here was one of the greatest days of all of our lives. Trust me. It was amazing.
So let's hope that Case Keenum can revisit some of those championship thoughts again. Because football's better when your quarterback's good.
Mark Schlereth wants to detail why Emmanuel Sanders will be here for one last year.